The Trump administration has made some dire warnings to ISIS in Syria as well as North Korea. Has it delivered on the threat to defeat ISIS? How involved is the U.S. in the war President Trump has pledged repeatedly to win? Who's not winning? Well, there are 5,165,502 registered Syrian refugees who've left the country, according to the UNHCR, over 7 million internally displaced people, and estimates of upwards of 400,000 civilian deaths. In just a minute, we'll hear from one Syrian activist who is preparing for life after war in Syria through the education and empowerment of women. Borzu Daragahi joins us, Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed News. He was recently in Raqqa, currently in Istanbul, Turkey. What did you see in Raqqa, Borzu?
I mean, it's a very, very fierce battle to dislodge ISIS from its self-declared capital of its self-declared caliphate. And, you know, it's a very, very intense fight going on hour by hour, day by day, with Kurdish-led Syrian militias, ground forces, basically punching their way through ISIS positions inside the city. And when they get in trouble, calling in for U.S. airstrikes, or the U.S.-led coalition, actually, also other countries involved in that coalition, especially Britain and France. And you see more and more American military personnel on the ground there helping the Syrian militias fight ISIS, as well as, quite interestingly, regular U.S. officials who are helping in the sort of political and humanitarian process, so that once ISIS is kicked out of this area, there is some measure of stability in Raqqa and surrounding areas.
How effective is all of this? And are the American flags flying, or is it a more subtle but sizable involvement in the war on the ground?
I think it's very effective. I think this is the strategy that has been in place since 2014, when ISIS took over the Iraqi city of Mosul. This is basically a version of that strategy, perhaps much more robust, perhaps much more cooperation between local ground forces and the U.S. Air umbrella. And it is, I think it is working. I think it is effective in terms of a military strategy to get rid of ISIS. I think there's a few concerns. One is the heavy dependence on airstrikes is creating a lot of civilian casualties. And I think the biggest concern, the sort of 800-pound gorilla in the room, is the unresolved political issues that led to this crisis.
So do we save the patient by making Syria a political fatality? What is the outline of a Syrian political solution that you might see in this coalition on the ground? What do the Syrian Democratic Forces want? Do the Kurds have a stake in a united Syria? All these questions are important, but maybe premature with all the fighting going on.
No, I think they're not premature, as we saw in previous conflicts. These sort of political, thorny political problems tend to undo any military successes. The best case, I guess, is Iraq, where, you know, the U.S. managed to invade and topple the government in 2003. And meanwhile, you know, the sort of the kind of chaos it unleashed and the lack of a plan that it showed really led to disaster. As for the patient, I think the patient is, you know, I've been covering Syria now for, like, it's coming to six years and so on. And I think it's beyond saving. I think it's just such a disaster, such a humanitarian collapse. And I think that, you know, you underscore an important point. The Syrian Democratic Forces, which is the U.S. Partner on the ground in northern Syria, is heavily dominated by the Kurds. And not just any Kurds. These are Kurds who are loyal to the Kurdistan Workers Party. That's the PKK. The PKK is the Turkish-Kurdish organization that has been fighting the government of NATO partner Turkey for years and is considered a terrorist organization by Turkey as well as the U.S. and the European Union. And so this becomes really complicated. Is the offshoot, the Syrian offshoot of the PKK, going to establish a little statelet in northern Syria on the border of Turkey? Turkey will not accept that. You know, this makes a lot of people in the region nervous. It makes the government in Baghdad nervous. It makes the government in Tehran, Iran, which also has a sizable Kurdish minority, nervous. It makes the government in Damascus very, very nervous. But it, you know, more than anything, it makes the Turks very, very, very nervous. And the Turks could undermine any potential peaceful settlement to the sort of northern Syria mosaic. And, you know, that's a real concern that the U.S. is constantly trying to massage Turkish worries about what's happening with its partner in northern Syria.
I like your statement, mosaic, in talking about northern Syria. But we could talk about a mosaic that stretches from Basra in southern Iraq all the way to the Lebanese border, a groups that on Sunday, war crimes prosecutor Carla DePonte announced are all bad guys, that she was leaving a UN commission responsible for investigating human rights abuses in Syria. Is that the end game here? A kind of pre-Ottoman or Ottoman-era series of statelets all fighting each other full of militias and weapons and no real national outcome?
It does seem that is one overlay. You know, you do have, like, for example, you know, I spend quite a bit of time in Baghdad, and there is a very strong right now Iraqi sense of national identity. I think there's a similar thing in Syria as well. You know, Syria does have a national identity. It does have a history, but you have many groups that don't accept it or want to change it. And this is what wars are fought over. You know, wars are rarely fought over resources. Wars like this are fought when a country basically doesn't know who it is anymore, and a large group of people want to redefine who it is. And I in the past, me and people smarter than me have likened it to the 30 years war in Europe in the Middle Ages, or the pre-Middle Ages, where, you know, you had all these different, you know, Catholic and Protestant denominations and all these foreign powers interfering, all fighting over, you know, what was then what turned out to be mostly Germany. And this is the mess that you have. Yeah, there are no real good guys. But, you know, on balance, at least for now, those U.S. allies, the Syrian Democratic Forces, seems to be abiding by some decorum. You know, they're probably the best bet in this particular patch of Syria.
Borzoi Dereghahi is Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed News, recently in Raqqa, currently in Istanbul, Turkey. Borzoi, thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.